200 years old. Not me. Not you. The Christmas carol, Silent Night. It was written and sung for the first time at Christmas in the year 1818. 200 years ago. Virtually everyone knows the first verse by heart. And most of us would remember the words to the other verses, have given a few hints along the way. That's how beloved this carol has become. So we're using Silent Night as the basis for this year's Advent theme of calm and bright. And since this is the second Sunday of Advent, we'll look at the second verse of the carol. Its words are printed in the bulletin right below the sermon title, the top of the back page of your bulletin. And again this week, I invite you not to sing them, but to say them with me. And we'll again use a voice that we would use if a sleeping baby were in the pews next to us. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glories stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing Alleluia, Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. And so this verse transports us to the fields on the rolling hills that surround the tiny village of Bethlehem. The bountiful fields of grain probably gave Bethlehem its name, since in Hebrew, Bethlehem means house of bread, Bethlehem. Now, why were the shepherds and their flocks in the farmers' fields? I mean, usually sheep and goats would be led to uncultivated land where they would eat whatever scrub vegetation they could find. But after the harvest, shepherds were welcome to bring their animals into the fields to eat the remaining grain and stubble. And in return, the sheep and goats fertilized the fields for the next planting season. Nice symbiotic relationship. Now, religious artwork and our imaginations have romanticized the image of shepherds in antiquity. But shepherds were not held in high regard by society back then. They were usually ranked with tanners and camel drivers and other despised occupations. I mean, being away from home at night, the shepherds were unable to protect their women, and therefore they were considered dishonorable men. In addition, they were also considered thieves because frequently they grazed their flocks on other people's property without their permission. Surely from time to time you have seen someone at work and thought to yourself, oh, I would hate to do that for a living. Well, in ancient times, that's how people felt about shepherds. And since I'm not aware of any professional shepherds in our midst this morning, we'll have to imagine what it would be like out there on a hillside near Bethlehem. And so let's imagine. First, it's dark. A few dim lights of Bethlehem are maybe a half a mile, maybe a mile, maybe 3 miles away in the distance. And it's calm. Now and then a sheep or a goat bleats. That's about all you hear. It's cold. At this time of the year, the sun will warm the air into the 60s or 70s, maybe even the 80s during the day, but at night, the temperature drops into the 40s or maybe 30s. And wrapped in coarse wool tunics, the shepherds have a small fire for cooking and for warmth, but not so big, not so bright that it interferes with their ability to see into the darkness. Their eyes and ears are attentive for any signs of predatory animals threatening their flocks, or for nomads looking to steal an animal for their next meal. And even with a new moon, the canopy of stars overhead provides for a gentle illumination, providing silhouettes of animals resting on the ground or bending down to nibble on stalks or just standing there looking in the distance. All is calm. And suddenly all is bright. A messenger from God appears. That's what the Greek word angel means. Simply messenger. There's nothing about wings or flying. Those are products of artists' imaginations trying to explain how these heavenly messengers can convey themselves between heaven and earth. But God's messenger appears out of nowhere, and the shepherds are frightened. Well, first of all, how did this messenger sneak up on them without them noticing? And second, why did the messenger come to them, of all people? Was he aiming for Bethlehem and just missed his target? And third, what was this light, this warmth, this sensation of well-being and peace and hope and joy that seems to be emanating from this messenger and enveloping them like a pleasant fog? Well, the angel told them what they were experiencing was the result of good news of a great joy. The Christmas Carol uses this image. Glory streams from heaven afar. In our worship life, we hear and use words like glory, glorious, glorify. You might not think much about what they mean. Glory is a term rich with meaning. Glory is worshipful adoration and praise. Glory is also God's magnificent blessing. Glory is sometimes expressed as individuals or groups overflowing with praise of God. And sometimes glory is experienced as being bathed in light, brilliant, stunning, comforting, empowering light. And glory is our reaction to the overwhelming, unending goodness of God. And glory is also transformative. Like light brings illumination to that which it touches, God's glory imparts blessings of its beauty and its wonder on all who perceive it and receive it. But in today's beloved scripture reading from Luke's Gospel, God's generous, unmerited blessing, God's unmatched greatness and limitless mercy, God's glory was being poured out upon the undeserving. The shepherds felt undeserving. Society told them they were, while they were tolerated for their necessary but undesirable function, society held them at arm's length, if not farther. But God's glory streamed into the lives of those humble shepherds nonetheless. Maybe we feel undeserving. I mean, we should. We know we're not perfect. Boy, we know we're not perfect. I mean, maybe you hear messages from strangers out in public telling you you're no good, you're undeserving because of the way you look or the causes you believe in. Maybe you're told you're not worthy by people who stand to gain by putting you down. Maybe people you depend on say demeaning, deeply hurtful things when they're angry. And maybe you reinforce those messages by telling yourself that you don't deserve God's acceptance and mercy and love. But by complete grace, God's goodness, God's glory streams upon you and me graciously and abundantly, blessing us with calm amid turmoil, blessing us with hope in times of uncertainty, blessing us with courage to face up to unnerving circumstances that threaten us. God's glory streams upon us, blessing us with the ability to trust when we can't be certain, blessing us with the capacity to have faith when there's no solid evidence, blessing us with uplifting forgiveness when we're immobilized by the weight of our failures. As the carol sang, glories stream from heaven afar. Glories streamed upon those humble shepherds from heaven afar, with countless hosts of heavenly messengers lifting their praises to Almighty God. God's glory streams into our world, into our lives all the time. These are gifts. Gifts of God's unmerited grace. Now, this is nothing new. You heard this last Christmas, but you need to hear it again. You need to remember it again and believe it again so you can live it again. God's gift to the world at Christmas of Jesus, our Master and Savior, is God's reminder to notice and to welcome God's blessings, God's mercy, God's hope for our world. For glories stream from heaven afar, and we will join with the heavenly hosts to sing Alleluia. For by God's grace, Christ the Savior is born.